ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. We began the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita and we covered up to the 16th shloka. In the first shloka, Arjuna asked Krishna what exactly was his recommendation. Is it sannyasa or karma yoga? Karma sannyasa or karma yoga? So at one time you emphasize giving up karma, sometimes you also say performing karma yoga. I'm confused. Tell me what is more beneficial for me. From the second shloka till sixth shloka, Krishna says that karma yoga is more or less equivalent to karma sannyasa, but karma yoga is easier than karma sannyasa. Karma sannyasa is giving up work. Karma yoga is performing your prescribed work with the spirit of detachment. So in karma sannyasa there may be renunciation of work, but in karma yoga there is renunciation in work. Okay. So what Krishna is trying to recommend is not sannyasa of karma, but sannyasa in karma. In that sense, karma sannyasa is equivalent to karma yoga, although you are performing your prescribed duties. But what is more recommended and easier and beneficial in Arjuna's context is better to perform prescribed duties, okay, and perform karma yoga. And we have elaborately described already how karma sannyasa and sankhya yoga or jnana yoga are in one sense same, and yoga or karma yoga or nishkama karma yoga is like also equivalent to jnana yoga, in the sense that in a mature nishkama karma yogi develops knowledge and detachment. Although he is performing so many prescribed activities, he is as good as not doing any activity, and he will not incur any material reaction for that activity because he is working in full knowledge and with full detachment with no material desires. Okay, so in spirit both are same. That's what Krishna says in the beginning of this chapter, especially in the 4th, 5th and 6th shlokas. And later, in the next 10 verses, 7th shloka till 16th shloka, Krishna speaks about performing nishkama karma yoga, how it frees one from bondage. He gives the characteristics of a yoga yukta, or a person who is involved in performing karma yoga. So such a person is never entangled, although he is performing so many activities. In that sense he is the doer, still he is not the doer because he has no attachment to those activities or the results of those activities. So he works only for the Supreme. Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva. So without any attachment, as an offering to the Supreme, he is performing activities, so there is no entanglement for him. It's as good as not performing the material activity. And by these all activities, he is only seeking purification. So the summary is, yoga yuktaha karma phalam tyaktva shanti mapnoti naishtikim. A karma yogi is performing his prescribed duties with detachment as an offering to the Supreme, and shanti mapnoti, he will attain unadulterated peace and liberation. Okay. But on the other hand, there is karmi who is performing his activities with attachment to results, with material desires, with sense gratificatory proclivities. So he will be entangled in bondage. Later, Krishna spoke about the knowledge of the three doers, the role of the soul and the role of the Supreme Lord and the role of Prakriti in the performance of any activity. Jiva is the doer. because the jiva desires some work to be done. The Supreme Lord is also the doer because he sanctions the desires of the jiva. And Prakriti is also the doer because Prakriti facilitates the fulfillment of the desires under the superintendence of the Supreme Lord. Thus, for any activity to be done, jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti, all three are the doers. Okay, jiva is not the only doer. So, and because of this ignorance, avidya, the conditioned soul may have so many material desires, but he can overcome those material desires by cultivating spiritual knowledge. Okay, so that's how we completed this chapter up to the 16th sloka. Now we will discuss the last section of this chapter, 17th to 29th sloka. So it is attaining liberation by focusing on the Supreme. The gist of these few verses is that a yogi may attain liberation by fixing his mind on the Supreme Lord, and that involves tolerating some material desires, tolerating some temptations that one might have in this world because of being within a material body with material senses, with so many material sense objects around. So we need to tolerate all that. So focus on the liberation, focus on attaining the Supreme. Okay, he elaborates more on this. 17th sloka.
Tadbuddhayastadatmanaham tannishtastatparayanaham gacchantyapunaravrittim jnananirdhutakalmashah tadbuddhayah tadatmanah.
Buddhi is intelligence. Atmana in different contexts mean different things. Sometimes it is soul, sometimes it is mind, sometimes it is body. We discussed all this several times. But here, tad buddhayah, tad atmanah indicates when one's intelligence and mind, okay, tan nishtah tat parayanah. So one's faith and refuse are all fixed on the Supreme Lord. Tat parayanah means completely fixed on Krishna. So the tatparayanaha is actually matparayanaha. So basically focusing on the Supreme Lord Krishna. Okay. So if one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuse are fixed on Krishna, what is the result? Krishna says, gacchanti apunaravrittim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. Gacchanti, he attains a destination by which he will never have to take birth in this material world with material body and material senses again. Okay. He becomes cleansed of all misgivings. Nirdhuta kalmashaha. Kalmasha means contamination. Nirdhuta means completely purified of all that contamination. Jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. By knowledge, all the contamination that you acquired due to ignorance is completely washed away. Okay, by fixing your mind, intelligence on Krishna. Fine. So, by focusing on the Supreme Lord, one attains liberation. Gacchanti apunaravrittim. That's basically indicating liberation. Gacchanti means attaining a position. Apunaravrittim means not having to take birth again in this world. That's basically liberation from this world. Okay. So, attain liberation by focusing your mind, intelligence and refuse and whole consciousness and faith fixed on Krishna. Fine. So Prabhupada writes beautiful lines. The whole Bhagavad Gita centers around the declaration that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the version of all Vedic literature. Now, ultimately Krishna is trying to emphasize that you focus your mind and intelligence on me. Okay. One whose mind, intelligence, faith and refuge are always in Krishna, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is undoubtedly washed clean of all misgivings and in perfect knowledge in everything concerning transcendence. I just read one sentence from the purport. So Prabhupada basically wrote the translation of the sloka in a more paraphrased manner. A Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality that there is duality, means simultaneous identity and individuality in Krishna, and equipped with such transcendental knowledge, one can make steady progress on the path of liberation. 18th sloka. So when one focuses on the Supreme, he attains liberation. That's fine. That's the ultimate result that the person attains by focusing on the Supreme, by fixing one's mind intelligence on the Supreme Lord. But how he conducts himself in this world, what is his vision of people and objects in this world, that is described in the 18th sloka.
Vidya vinaya sampanne
brahmane
gavi hastini sunichaiva swapakecham panditaha samadarshinah.
So this is the context where Krishna is describing how a Nishkama Karma Yogi attains liberation. Okay. It's a very simple section which is being described here. Now, one way of looking at it is from the highest devotional perspective. But it's another way is, it's simply a Jnani also can have this kind of vision. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, someone who is endowed with true knowledge, means Vidya. Vinaya Sampanne, he also has humility. So humble sages, by virtue of their true knowledge, Brahmane Gavi Hastini Sunichaiva Swapakecha. Brahmane means a Brahmana. Gavi means a cow. Hastini means an elephant. And Sunichaiva, a dog. Swapakecha means a dog eater also. Five categories of people are mentioned here. Panditaha Samadarshinaha. If you are a pandit, if you are a learned person, you will see all of them on an equal plane. Okay. So, wise people perceive everybody, all the living entities, on an equal plane. So, very high devotional qualities are not being described in this sloka, but an equal vision of all living entities is just being described. Okay. So, this is not the highest spiritual attribute of a devotee, but a devotee also possesses these qualities along with many other devotional qualities. Fine. So this is a spiritual vision that even a Jnani can also have. What to speak of Bhakta? So this is not, this is a subset of the qualities that are possessed by devotees. Okay. So Brahmanas and cows are in mode of goodness, and elephant is in mode of passion. Dog and dog eaters are in mode of ignorance. Means, although different living entities are in different modes of material nature, still a mature person can see equanimity, equality amongst all of them. All of them are parts and parcels of the Lord, and the Supreme Lord is there within the bodies of all of them. So those who are beyond the modes will not be carried away by these external differences between the living entities based on the material bodies. Okay. They focus on the spirit soul. So they see all of these living entities equally because they are all spirit souls. And the Lord Paramatma is present within all of them. So seeing the spiritual identity of all kinds of living entities makes these people very wise. Fine. So that's what is being mentioned here. Prabhupada says that these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme, for the Supreme Lord by His plenary portion as Paramatma is present in everyone's heart. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the super soul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. See the quality. So, the soul within the dog's body or a cat's body or a human body or a male body or female body, the soul is of the same nature, same quality. So, in that, from that perspective, there is equal vision for a learned person. Prabhupada says, a Krishna conscious person has full knowledge of this and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of soul and super soul are there, are that they are both conscious, eternal and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body whereas the super soul is conscious of all the bodies. Oh, qualitatively you both are one. The Supreme Lord and the Jiva are one. But that does not mean quantitatively they are one. The soul may be conscious of one's own body, that too not completely. But the super soul is conscious of every single person. 19th shloka.
Ihaivatair jitaihi sargo.
Yesham samye sthitam manah.
Nirdosham hisamam brahma.
Tasmad brahmani te sthitah.
So this is the Brahman platform. Brahmanite sthitaha means a person who is on the Brahman platform can have such equal vision.
Ihaiva tair jitaha sargo yesham samye sthitam manaha.
People with such equal vision conquer birth and death also. Okay. So jitaihi sargaha, sarga is birth and death, the creation, which contains so many births and deaths. So one can transcend and one can conquer. Jitaihi means conquering. One can conquer this birth and death cycle.
Nirdosham hi samam brahma.
They are flawless like brahma. Nirdosham means no dosha, no faults in them. Samam brahma, they are as good as Brahman, means spirit. Okay, they are spiritual. So thus they are situated in Brahman. Tasmat brahmanite sthitaha. Basically, this is the Brahman platform where one transcends the differences that are normally observed on a material platform. Okay, they are situated on a Brahman platform from which everything is seen to them in a spiritual vision, through a spiritual vision. Okay. So, equanimity of mind is the sign of self-realization. So, you are not affected by anything material. You are not carried away by the external differences that living entities might have in terms of physical bodies. You are able to see the equanimity within all living entities as spirit souls. That is the spiritual vision. That is the Brahman vision. That is the platform of Brahman. Okay. At this stage, engagement of the spirit soul in spiritual activities in service to Krishna is not being mentioned here. You're clear? So it's not the highest devotional quality. It's the basic quality of transiting transition between matter and spirit. You relinquished the material vision, you are coming to a spiritual vision. Okay? But once you come to spiritual platform, what are the activities on the spiritual platform? They are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, all these things. So all that are not being discussed here. Okay. So all this will come in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, those chapters, middle chapters. Okay. Krishna gives hints towards Bhakti Yoga in some of these initial chapters. But the clear, deeper descriptions of Bhakti Yoga are there in the 7th to 12th chapters, as Acharyas have repeatedly acknowledged. Okay. So, those who have actually attained to such a stage should be considered to have completely conquered material conditions, specifically birth and death. Okay. 20th shloka.
Naprahrishyet priyam prapya.
Nodvijet
prapya chapriyam.
Sthirabuddhir
asammoodho.
Brahmavid brahmani sthitah.
Very beautiful. 20th sloka and the 21st sloka are describing the symptoms of such a self-realized person who is on the Brahman platform. Okay, who has all these qualities which we just said. 17th shloka says that such a person is focusing on the Supreme to attain liberation. 18th shloka says he has an equal vision. He can see cow, brahmana, dog, dog eater, elephant, all of them are on an equal level. 19th shloka says he is situated on the Brahman platform. He transcended the material cycles of birth and death. 20 and 21 shlokas are describing the symptoms, further symptoms of such a person. Okay, what are they? Let's see, 20th shloka.
Na prahrishyet priyam prapya.
Priyam prapya means you are attaining something which is very dear to you. Priyam means dear to you. Prapya means you have attained it. Na prahrishet, he does not get overexcited. He does not get so elated by getting something very pleasant. And nodvijet prapya cha apriyam. Apriya means something which is not dear to you. So you attained something which you don't like. Means something caused distress to you. Something generally has the potential to cause some distress to you. But nodvijet, you are not agitated. Okay. So during the winter season, if you touch anything cold, you are not very happy with it. You are not very comfortable. During the summer season, if somebody gives you very hot water, okay, in the middle of the day, 12 p.m., 12 noon, they will give you some boiling hot water. You have come all the way from so and so place, walking in the hot sun. Please, can you please take some water? And he will give you boiling water. You know, give me some cool water, okay? So there are some things which you are not comfortable with, okay? So one who is on self-realized platform, he has transcended all that. Okay, not only physically. Physically you can understand, mentally also. Okay, na prahrishet priyam prapya. Na udvijet prapya cha priyam. Sthira buddhir asam moodho. Sthira buddhi means his intelligence is very steady. Not fickle, not running here and there. Sthira buddhir asam moodho. No bewilderment. No confusions, no misconceptions. Okay. Brahmavid brahmanisthitaha. Brahmavid means he knows the spiritual science of Godhead. Brahmanisthitaha means he is situated on the Brahman platform, or he is situated on the transcendence, as we discussed in the 19th sloka. 21 further qualities. Bahyasparsheshu asaktatma. Vindatyatmani yat sukham. Sabrahma yoga yuktatma. Sukhamakshayam asnute. Bahyasparsheshu asakta atma. Bahyasparsha means something which is very external. External sense pleasure. Asakta atma. He is not attached. He is not attached to any material sense pleasures. Asakta atma. Vindati atmaniyat sukham. Why? Because he is taking pleasure within. His happiness is not dependent on anything external. His happiness is totally centered on his own self. Because from within, he is experiencing happiness. He is happy within. Okay, his happiness doesn't depend on some external facilities of comfort, pleasant words, encouraging words, soothing words, or some palatable food. No, he is already happy within. He is rejoicing within. Okay. So, sab brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam asnuti. Brahma yoga yuktatma means he concentrated on Brahman. Okay, yukta atma, he is self-connected. Sukham akshayam asnute, he enjoys sukham means happiness, which is akshayam, means which does not deteriorate. He attains permanent happiness. Some people who are carried away by some temporary small things, for a small child, you give him a toy, the child becomes so happy. And when the toy is broken, the child becomes distressful. So the joy that the toy gives a boy is very feeble, very temporary in nature. It's not akshayam sukham. It is kshayam sukham. But for an elderly person, whether you give a red toy or a blue toy or a big toy or a small toy, it doesn't make any difference to that elderly person. Okay? Because he has transcended the happiness of seeking pleasure from playing with toys. He wants a real car. He wants a real mobile. He wants real specs. Okay? Some children wear some specs, right? So they don't have any number. They didn't test their eyes. Okay? So it's not useful. So, but they are very happy seeing their face in the mirror with this big, big spats and all that. That may not suit their face also. So, the happiness of an elderly person does not depend on these petty, childish things. Similarly, the happiness of a self-realized person does not depend on petty things that are appealing to an elderly person also.
Okay.
Fine. So, sukham akshayam asnute, they are experiencing happening within on a spiritual platform. Prabhupada writes in this purports, he is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowledge, and the complete science of absolute truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization. So that these are the symptoms of self-realized people. Next. Now, detachment from material or external sense pleasures is emphasized here. That's what we said, right? Bahya sparseshu asaktatma. And also we said that vindati atmani yat sukham, he experiences happiness within. Okay. So, detachment from external pleasure and focusing inwards within, trying to seek pleasure within, actually requires an understanding that material enjoyment is so futile, feeble, temporary, foolish and insubstantial. Okay. So, one should have that deep understanding that material sense pleasure is extremely detrimental to spiritual progress. Because as long as one is within the material body, although one has intellectual understanding of the spirit, soul and material body, still just the very fact that he is living within a material body with material senses in the material world with so many material sense objects around him, at any moment one can be tempted by temporary sense pleasure. You are getting? So, the temptation of material sense pleasure is always there, although you have the intellectual understanding. Okay? So, one should have a proper understanding that the material sense pleasures are totally insubstantial. So, one should repeatedly have this understanding. That's why, ek bar bol diya na. So, once it is said that material sense pleasures are insubstantial, material body is insubstantial and all that we have seen in the second chapter, also earlier chapters. But Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita and many other scriptures repeatedly say this. Why? Because as long as one is in the material body, who is reading the scripture? The people who are in material body are reading the scriptures, most of them. There are very few self-realized souls. So, scriptures are put in writing for those people who are living in the material bodies. Okay, so that's why in the next two verses, Krishna wonderfully describes how the desire for sense pleasure is extremely detrimental to your spiritual consciousness. Okay, let us see. Sense enjoyment is ultimately distressful. Okay, that's why there are in so many spiritual circles, coming to Brahman platform or coming to a neutral state or having equanimity of mind is emphasized. Along with that, the distressful condition of material world is also emphasized. But Bhakti Yoga is very special that along with emphasizing on having a spiritual vision and also insubstantiality of material world, there is a positive spiritual engagement. Okay. So, three things are there. One is understanding the futility of material pleasures. That itself is not sufficient. One should develop a spiritual vision. So, maintaining an equal vision or spiritual vision and equanimity of mind and neutrality towards material dualities, just with the understanding of the futility of material pleasures is not sufficient. Unless you have spiritual engagement positively. So positive spiritual engagement is very much needed. Bhakti Yoga facilitates that. Yes, bringing your senses in contact with so many sense objects will entangle you. But senses are there. They seek pleasure. And I am living in the material body with so many material senses. What am I supposed to do? You tell me to stop sense enjoyment. Come to a neutral state. It's getting too difficult for me. Bhakti Yoga offers. Sevan mukhehi jihvadav swayameva spharatyada. Engage all these material senses that you have now. This hands, legs, eyes, ears, nose, everything. Engage all of them in Bhakti Yoga. With your nose, smell the flowers offered to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. With your hands, offer aarti to Him. With your hands, you may cook and feed Him. With your mouth, you can chant His holy names. With your mouth, you can eat the prasadam which is offered to the Lord. So like that, the senses have to be given positive spiritual engagement. That will come in the middle chapters. At this stage, Krishna is speaking two things. Having an equal vision coming on the Brahman platform, having a spiritual vision. Oh, just raise yourself beyond these differences on the bodily platform, material platform. That is Vidya Vinaya Sampanna and all that. Then have a spiritual vision, equal vision. Then now he is saying about how sense enjoyment is so distressful. 22nd.
Yehi samsparsha jabhoga dukha yonaya evate adyantavantaha kaunteya nate shuramate buddha. Yehi samsparsha jabhoga dukha yonaya evate samsparsha jabhoga.
Means when you are bringing your senses in contact with the sense object, by that samsparsha, by that contact, there is some so-called enjoyment. But dukkha yonaya evate, that enjoyment becomes a source of series of miseries. Okay, you brought your senses in contact with sense objects, there is some pleasure. But this pleasure is the source of so many distresses. Okay, so many pains. So, yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate. How can enjoyment be the yoni or the source of birth of so much pain? Because it is material. That enjoyment is material. That is produced out of contact between material objects. Material sense is coming in contact with material sense object. There is a so-called pleasure which is a source of so much of pain. Okay. Adi, antavantaha kaunteya, all these pleasures, material pleasures, have a beginning and have an end. Adi is there, anta is also there. Every soul, consciously or unconsciously, is seeking for unlimited pleasure, perpetual pleasure, not a pleasure that terminates at one point. Okay? So, but this material pleasure has adi and anta. It has a beginning and it has an end. It is not permanent. Okay. Nateshu ramate buddha. Buddha means if you are a wise person, nateshu ramate, you will not enjoy on that platform. Material pleasures are not meant for wise people. They are meant for foolish people. Okay. That is the 22nd shloka. Prabhupada writes, ramante yogino nante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padenashu param Brahmavidhiyate. Means the mystic transcendentalists or great devotees, they derive pleasure from the absolute truth. Ramante yogino anante satyanande chidatmani. Ananta, the Lord is ananta, he is the source of ananta sukha, means unlimited spiritual happiness. Wise people seek that kind of pleasure. Dhruva's prayers, Dhruvamara says, Yanirvritis tanubhritam tavapada padma dhyanat bhavat jana katha shravanena vasyat sa brahmaniswa mahimanyapi nathama bhut kim tvantakasi lulitat patatam vimanat. If pleasure has to be attained, it can be attained only in two ways. You can see 4th canto, 9th chapter, 10th and 11th verses, Dhruvamara says this. Yanirvritis tanubhritam tavapada padma dhyanat. Means you can attain pleasure by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord.
Bhavajjana katha shravaneena vasyat.
You can attain pleasure by hearing Krishna katha in the association of devotees. These are the two sources of pleasure according to Dhruva Maharaj. After seeing the Lord, having darshan of the Lord, standing in front of Lord Vishnu, he is saying this. Okay. So devotees seek such pleasure. But yehi samsparshaja bhoga, the pleasure is there in, the pleasure that is there in material sense enjoyment is not pleasure. It has adi, it has anta. So nayam deho deha bhajam driloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujamye.
These sense pleasures are accessible even to dogs and hogs, pigs. But a human being is not meant to be seeking that kind of pleasures.
The eating, sleeping, mating, defending pleasures are there in animals also. But if a human being's pleasure is also centered on that, by how do I eat better, how do I sleep better, how do I mate better, so that is what a living entity, a human being is aspiring for, you are just wasting human life. He says,
tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhyet yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam.
You get ananta brahma saukhya. You endeavor for unlimited spiritual happiness. Don't settle down to some temporary material happiness. Okay? That has a adi and anta. So scriptures are urging the human being not to give up their happiness. So once I was studying in college, I stopped watching movies, I stopped going to parties with my other friends and all. So one of my friends became so compassionate on me. Right? He was so pity, showing so much pity on me, saying that, why are you killing all your desires? Okay. So what is this hairstyle, new hairstyle? So why are you killing all your desires, he says. So point is, in the spiritual circles, the happiness promised is anantam, brahma saukhyam tu anantam. But in the material circles, the happiness available is adi antavantaha kaunteya. And that samsparshaja bhoga is dukha yonaya evate. The happiness that you derive by bringing your senses in contact with sense objects is the source of unlimited distress. But the happiness that you derive by performing devotional service unto Krishna is unlimited, is eternal, is never ending.
Susukham kartum avyayam.
Okay. You want permanent happiness or temporary happiness? It's up to you. Nobody will force you. The scriptures are saying this. You have faith in scriptures. Scriptures say, perform bhakti, you get brahma. Saukhyam to anantam. Ananta sukha you will get. But if you do sense gratification, you will get very limited sukha. But you have to undergo tremendous amount of dukkha. Okay, what is that shloka? Soham runam kshulla sukhaya dukkham mahat. And sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham vanya dupara mamva vindeta bhuyas tata eva dukkham yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadinnaha. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. People perform so many activities to get sukha. Okay, sukhaya karmani karoti loko. But natai sukham, they don't get sukham. Va anyat, they get distress. Uparamam va, still they don't stop their endeavors for happiness. Okay, that is all because of Maya's bewilderment. 23rd sloka. But what to do when I am in the material body with material senses? When I see some material sense object, I am getting tempted. Right? My tongue feels like enjoying that pakoda which is made by that street fellow. Okay? Or my ears are just getting attracted to some pop music. My eyes are getting attracted to some beautiful people and beautiful objects around. What am I supposed to do? Krishna says, yes. Although you have so much of intellectual understanding and you can convince other people also that this material happiness is very futile, still, as long as you are in the material body, there are material temptations. Okay? So, just don't think that just because you are explaining that material happiness is so temporary and insubstantial, you will never be affected by it.
As long as you are in the material body, there are urges for material pleasures. That's the nature of this body and that's the nature of this world. What are you supposed to do? Tolerate. Tolerating is the only way. How long you have to tolerate? Till you become 35 or 45? Till you have white hairs? Till you have no hairs? Okay, no. Till you leave this material body, you have to tolerate. That's what Krishna says in the next sloka. Shaknoti haivayashodham Prakshari ravimokshana Kamakrodhodbhavam vegam Sayuktaha sasukhi naraha Shaknoti haivayashodham. If one is able to tolerate, Shaknoti means one should have that ability. Eva yaha shodhum. Shodhum refers to tolerating. If you are able to tolerate, till what time? Prak sharira vimokshanat. Till the time of giving up your present body, if you are able to tolerate this sensual urges or temptations of material senses. Kama krodha udbhavam vegam. Vega means urge. And urge is coming out of what? Kama, desires. Krodha, lot of anger. The urges of senses arising from desire and anger should be tolerated as long as you are present in this body. Don't think that, okay, when I come to 40s, no more sense pleasures or sensual temptations. Okay, in 50s, I think, kuch nahi hota honga, hoga aapko, something like that. I don't know Hindi properly, but people say, I think you are completely aloof from all material desires, is it not? You're already living there since 10 years. You pass at the danger zone. Danger zone is everywhere. Okay. Danger zone is what? From birth to death is danger zone. Okay. Oh, you're India. It's very safe. If you come to America, it's like this. India is also like this. America is also like this. Okay. So as long as one is in the material body, the flavor of temptation may be different. The magnitude of temptation may be different, but as long as one is in the material body with material senses, there are temptations. One should tolerate them. Tolerating is the main solution. Okay, so that you have to do with your own effort. All the external superimpositions may have some kind of effect, but we have to be committed to the process of tolerating the sensual temptations and focusing on the Supreme. Okay? So you may be in a very peaceful ambience. Now the eve is there, so much greenery is around you. There's nothing agitating to the senses. That's fine. Okay? Ambience is facilitating your spiritual practice, but internally something else may go on. Okay? And sometimes somebody may be in an ambience which is not at all suitable for spiritual progress, but still one may be very alert and careful, and then he may be more Krishna conscious. Okay. So yes, external surroundings and association and ambience will have an effect on our mind, but that has to be coupled with our internal determination. One can be so spaced out in the midst of 1,000 devotees also, thinking of some other material sense pleasures. Okay, yeah, association of devotees is wonderful, but if you are not committed, if you are not taking advantage of that association, then one can be distracted in that situation also, in the midst of association of devotees within the temple also. Prabhupada writes, Kalakrishna Das was distracted in the association of Lord Chaitanya. What can be more spiritually surcharging, enlivening association than the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But even in Mahaprabhu's association also, Kalakrishna Das was a bit distracted. Mahaprabhu had to save him. Okay, you know the whole story. So one has to have a personal commitment oneself also, not just the surroundings. Surroundings definitely have an impact. One has to make sure that one is in proper association, in a proper ambience, which are conducive for one's spiritual practice. But internally also one should have commitment. Okay. So one should have tolerance. The senses keep on distracting us. One should tolerate that. Okay, eyes are pulling, you know, let me just look this side. There is less distraction or no distraction. So we need to make that effort to bring back our senses and put them on the spiritual practice. Okay. So Shiknoti Haivaya Shodhum Prakshari Ravimokshana, till the last breath, it's our individual responsibility as spiritual seekers to control our senses and mind and tolerate all the temptations of material sense pleasures. Shaknoti Haivaya Shodhum Prakshari Ravimokshana Kama Krodha Udbhavam Vegam. Okay. Sa yuktaha sa sukhinaraha. If you can do that, you are yukta, you are a wise person. Sukhinaraha. Sukhi means you are very happy even in this world also. Happiness is not there in giving into some sensual temptation. Happiness is actually there in tolerating the sensual temptation. You are able to understand this? You feel like eating some pakoda. Okay? And doctor told, eating this fried item is not good for your health. Fine. Doctor said that. But that pakoda came in front of you. You give in to the temptation and you eat that pakoda. You feel so happy. Your tongue is so satisfied. But is that happiness? After eating that, by the in the night or the next day, you will have to face the consequences. Is it not? So, Krishna says, happiness is there in tolerating these material temptations, not in giving into those temptations. Foolish people will say, "Hare, pakoda is coming, your tongue is salivating, why don't you eat it and be happy? Kha pi ke marengi." Okay, why don't you be happy? No, happiness is there in tolerating the temptation of eating that pakoda so that you become healthy following the doctor's prescription. And after 1 month or 2 months, if you are fit enough to eat fried items also, then you can eat. Otherwise, don't eat. That is there. I'm speaking a simple example which is on a physical plane. So, on a spiritual plane, anything that is distracting from our spiritual path is a temptation and one has to tolerate it. Okay? There are much more serious temptations. So, tolerating agitations and retiring from external engagements that give superficial happiness are possible when one has higher taste and religious happiness within. In the last two shlokas, 22nd and 23rd shlokas, we have seen that sense enjoyment is insubstantial. Understanding this, try to tolerate the temptation. So, for you to tolerate the temptation, you should be happy within. So, that is described in the 24th shloka. Yonta sukhantar atmar arama.
Yonta sukhantar arama.
Tathantar jyotirevayaha.
Tathantar jyotirevayaha.
Sayogi brahma nirvanam.
Sayogi brahma nirvanam.
Brahma bhuto adhigacchati. Yo antah sukho antar aramaha. Antah sukha means we are experiencing happiness inwards. Antar arama, you are relishing inwards. Antar jyoti, your sight, your vision is directed within, right? Such a person is actually a yogi. Yo antah sukho antar aramaha antah atatha antar jyotir evayaha sa yogi. Such a person is the real yogi. Brahma nirvanam, right? He attains the supreme. Brahma bhuto adhigacchati, he will become self-realized. He will be situated on the Brahman platform. Okay, just try to experience happiness within and stay away from the material sensual temptations. Fine. Focus on yourself. You are not the material body. All the sense objects that your material body is perceiving are on a material plane. So just relinquish those thoughts and impressions and try to focus on the spirit soul. Okay, you are spiritual entity. Okay, you are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Okay, so such a person is really happy. Unless one is able to relish happiness from within, how can one retire from the external engagements meant for depriving spiritual happiness, superficial happiness? A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. He can therefore sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. Such a liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. Now, fact is you are a spirit soul, okay, not a material body. All these material sense objects are giving you material happiness. They are not factual, they are illusory, they are temporary, they are insubstantial, they are futile. Fact is you are a spirit soul. So try to seek that spiritual happiness, Brahma Saukhyam to Anantam. Okay, but Krishna is just trying to bring us to a platform, explain to us this understanding of trying to seek that pleasure within. Okay, but actually what are the activities of a person who is a spirit soul and not the material body? That factual experience is the experience of Bhakti Yoga. That will come in the later chapters. Next, what is the sadhana for attaining liberation? 25th sloka, Krishna says, Labhante Brahma Nirvanam,
Labhante Brahma Nirvanam,
Rashayaha Kshina Kalmashaha, Chinnadvaidha Yathatmanaha,
Chinnadvaidha Yathatmanaha,
Sarvabhuta Hiteerataha, Labhante Brahma Nirvanam, Rashayaha Kshina Kalmashaha. Labhante Brahma Nirvana means a person will attain liberation. How? What is the practice? That is described now. Rishayaha Kshina Kalmashaha. One will be freed from all sins. Chinna Dvidha Dvaidha Yathatmanaha. So one is freed from all dualities and doubts. Okay. Sarva Bhuta Hiterataha. One will also work for others' welfare. Right, yatha atmanaha, one's mind is engaged within. So if you restrain yourself from sinful activities, if you free yourself from all doubts and dualities, if your minds are engaged within and you are working for others' welfare, you can attain liberation, which is also called Brahma Nirvanam. Okay. So the qualification mentioned in this 24th and 25th slokas seem to be very rare and difficult to achieve. What does 24th verse say? It's a Brahma Bhuta stage where you have Atma Rati, Atma Santushta, what is that? Atma Rama, Atma Sukha, Atma Jyoti. Means you are seeking pleasure within. 25th sloka says that Kshina Kalmashaha, then Chinna Dvaidha, Yathatmanaha, all these words are spoken. So these two seem to be very difficult to achieve, very rare. How can I just, you seek pleasure within, forget all external pleasures. It seems too much for Arjuna. So that's why Krishna says, 26th, some simplified explanation he gives, 26th sloka. Before that, 25th purport Prabhupada says that he focuses on this line, Sarva Bhuta Hiterataha, working for others' welfare. What exactly is working for others' welfare? In the ultimate sense, distributing Krishna consciousness to people in general is the real welfare work. That's what Prabhupada says, preaching. One, only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities. Okay. So Prabhupada takes that last line and then elaborates on it by focusing on the preaching. Now 26th sloka, how to attain liberation, Krishna says a simpler thing.
Kama krodha vimuktanam,
యతీనాం యతచేతసాం అభితో బ్రహ్మ నిర్వాణం వర్తతే విదితాత్మనం కామక్రోధ విముక్తానాం యతీనాం యతచేతసాం. కామక్రోధ విముక్తాన మీన్స్ వన్ షుడ్ బి ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ కామ మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్స్, క్రోధ యాంగర్. కామ క్రోధ విముక్తానాం. నెక్స్ట్ ఈజ్ యతచేతసాం మీన్స్ కంట్రోలింగ్ వన్స్ మైండ్. అండ్ అభితో బ్రహ్మ నిర్వాణం వర్తతే విదితాత్మనాం. అండ్ విదిత ఆత్మ మీన్స్ సెల్ఫ్ డిసిప్లిన్ అండ్ సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్. ఓకే, ఇఫ్ యూ సిన్సియర్లీ ఎండీవర్ ఫర్ పెర్ఫెక్షన్ అండ్ సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్ బీయింగ్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్స్ అండ్ యాంగర్ ఎక్సెట్రా, యూ కెన్ అటైన్ లిబరేషన్ వెరీ ఈజీలీ. యూ కెన్ అటైన్ బ్రహ్మ నిర్వాణం వెరీ ఈజీలీ. ఓకే, సో ప్రభువాద్ కోట్స్ ది మోస్ట్ ఎక్సైటింగ్ శ్లోక ఫ్రమ్ భాగవతం వేర్ భక్తి యోగ ఇస్ గ్లోరిఫైడ్. యత్ పాద పంకజ పలాస విలాస భక్త్యా కర్మాశయం గ్రథితముద్గ్రథయంతి సంతః తద్వన్న రిక్తమతయో యతయో విరుద్ధ శ్రోతో గణస్తమరణం భజ వాసుదేవం. యత్ పాద పంకజ పలాస విలాస భక్త్యా, ఇఫ్ యు పెర్ఫార్మ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ అంటు ది లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్, ద ఫీట్ ఆర్ లైక్ పెటల్స్ ఆఫ్ ది లోటస్. ఓకే, కర్మాశయం గ్రథితం ఉద్గ్రథయంతి, యువర్ కర్మాశయ, యువర్ ఆస్పిరేషన్స్ ఫర్ ఫ్రూటివ్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఈస్ కంప్లీట్లీ అప్రూటెడ్ బట్ తద్వన్న రిక్తమతయో, దోస్ ఆర్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ భక్తి, దే కెనాట్ ఈవెన్ కంట్రోల్ దేర్ సెన్సెస్ వాట్ టు స్పీక్ ఆఫ్ అప్రూటింగ్ దేర్ మెటీరియల్ ఎంటాంగిల్మెంట్. ఓకే, సో ద స్టేజ్ దట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ హియర్ కెన్ బి మోర్ ఈజీలీ అండ్ ఎఫెక్టివ్లీ అటైన్ బై భక్తి యోగ, నాట్ ఎనీ అదర్ యోగ. ద రియల్ ఎండీవర్ దట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ స్పీకింగ్ హియర్ ఈజ్ సపోజ్ టు బి ఫర్ ఎండీవరింగ్ ఫర్ భక్తి యోగ, ఇన్ భక్తి యోగ. దర్శన ధ్యాన సంస్పర్శైర్ మత్స్య కూర్మ విహంగమాహ, బై విజన్ బై మెడిటేషన్ అండ్ బై టచ్ ఓన్లీ డూ ఎ ఫిష్ ద టార్టాయిస్ అండ్ ద బర్డ్స్ మెయింటైన్ దేర్ ఆఫ్ స్ప్రింగ్, సిమిలర్లీ డూ ఐ ఆల్సో ఓ పద్మజ. ద ఫిష్ బ్రింగ్స్ అప్ ఇట్స్ ఆఫ్ స్ప్రింగ్ సింప్లీ బై లుకింగ్ ఎట్ దమ్. ద టార్టాయిస్ బ్రింగ్స్ అప్ ఇట్స్ ఆఫ్ స్ప్రింగ్ సింప్లీ బై మెడిటేషన్. ద ఎగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది టార్టాయిస్ ఆర్ లైడ్ ఆన్ ల్యాండ్ అండ్ ద టార్టాయిస్ మెడిటేట్స్ ఆన్ ద ఎగ్స్ వైల్ ఇన్ ద వాటర్. ఓకే, సిమిలర్లీ ద డివోటీ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆల్దో ఫార్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ ద లార్డ్స్ అబోర్డ్ కెన్ ఎలివేట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు దట్ అబోర్డ్ సింప్లీ బై థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ. హౌ కెన్ ఐ అటైన్ దట్ హీ సో ఫార్ అవే? యా, యూ కెన్ అటైన్ బై కంప్లీట్ డెడికేషన్ అండ్ విత్ వెరీ డీప్ డిజైర్ టు అటైన్ దట్. దెన్ బై మెడిటేషన్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ యూ కెన్ గో. అండ్ ఫిష్ just looks at it, looks at the eggs, and by the glances only, by the deep desire only, the fishes will take birth. So like that, so Prabhupada gives beautiful examples or analogies from the nature, how one can attain. Now there is another popular example in Bhagavatam that says that one insect attains the body of a fly, butterfly, by meditating on the butterfly. So like that, wasp is the example. 24 gurus mein it comes, 27 and 28. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyam chakshus chivantare bhruvoh ప్రాణాపానౌ సమౌ కృత్వా ప్రాణాపానౌ సమౌ కృత్వా నాసాభ్యంతరచారిణౌ యతేంద్రియమనో బుద్ధిర్
మునిర్మోక్షపరాయణః విగతేచ్ఛా భయక్రోధో యః సదా ముక్త ఏవ సః. టిల్ నౌ కృష్ణ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ హౌ టు అటైన్ లిబరేషన్ బై నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ అండ్ ఆల్సో బై జ్ఞాన, ఓకే, బై హ్యావింగ్ నాలెడ్జ్. But in these two shlokas, 27th and 28th shlokas, Krishna describes how to attain liberation by dhyana or Ashtanga Yoga. A small preview of Ashtanga Yoga is given in these two verses, but that full Ashtanga Yoga is elaborated in the next chapter. So 27th and 28th shlokas of this chapter are a prelude to 6th chapter. Fine? And 29th shloka is about bhakti yoga, that's kind of prelude to the 7th to 12th chapters. Okay, now in the 27th and 28th shlokas Krishna says sparshan kritva bahir bahyams, shutting out all the external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within nostrils. This is basically pranayama. There is breath control, mind control, sense control, sitting postures, breathing exercises. All these are a part of Ashtanga Yoga, which will be more elaborately described in the next chapter. Krishna gives a small preview. And thus controlling the mind, senses and intelligence, the transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, fear and anger. Okay, vigata iccha bhaya krodho yaha sada mukta eva saha. By that way one can attain liberation. Okay. So you can attain liberation by focusing on the Supreme, either through Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, and ultimately by Bhakti Yoga. Supreme liberation is attained by Bhakti Yoga. Prabhupada writes in the last statement of this purport, a Krishna conscious person, however, being always engaged in devotional service, does not risk losing his senses to some other engagement. This is a better way of controlling the senses than by Ashtanga Yoga. Although Krishna is describing Ashtanga Yoga in 27th and 28th verses, Krishna says better than Ashtanga Yoga is another solution. I'll give you that. What is that? Bhakti Yoga. So Prabhupada brings us to the final essence. 29th sloka. This is speaking about the Bhakti Yoga. So a Krishna conscious person focuses more on Bhakti Yoga than this breath control, mind control and sense control. He engages mind and senses and breath in Krishna's service and then gets liberation very easily. And ultimately liberation is not the aim of a devotee. Perpetual loving devotional service unto Krishna is the ultimate goal of any devotee. So one of the key verses of Bhagavad Gita is coming up now, 29th shloka. భోక్తారం యజ్ఞ తపసాం
భోక్తారం యజ్ఞ తపసాం
సర్వలోక మహేశ్వరం
సర్వలోక మహేశ్వరం
సుహృదం సర్వభూతానాం
సుహృదం సర్వభూతానాం
జ్ఞాత్వా మాం శాంతి మృచ్ఛతి
జ్ఞాత్వా మాం శాంతి మృచ్ఛతి
భోక్తారం యజ్ఞ తపసాం
భోక్తారం యజ్ఞ తపసాం
సర్వలోక మహేశ్వరం
సర్వలోక మహేశ్వరం
సుహృదం సర్వభూతానాం
సుహృదం సర్వభూతానాం
జ్ఞాత్వా మాం శాంతి మృచ్ఛతి
జ్ఞాత్వా మాం శాంతి మృచ్ఛతి
భోక్తారం యజ్ఞ తపసాం. భోక్త మీన్స్ ఎంజాయర్, ఓకే, ద రిసిపియెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. సో ఐ ఆమ్ ద సుప్రీం ఎంజాయర్, కృష్ణ సేస్, ఆఫ్ వాట్? యజ్ఞ తపసాం. యజ్ఞ మీన్స్ ఆల్ ద సాక్రిఫైసెస్ దట్ యు డూ. We have discussed several sacrifices in the fourth chapter. Any activity done with a intent to achieve some result can be called sacrifice. It need not be offering some oblations into fire only. We discussed all of that. So, bhoktaram yajna tapasam. Whatever austerities you do, whatever sacrifices you do, the supreme enjoyer of all of them is Krishna. Means, karma yogis may do a lot of yajna and tapasa. Jnana yogis may do yajna and tapasa, but Krishna is the enjoyer. So Krishna is the object of worship of karma yogis and jnanis. Is it clear? That is what Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam is indicating. Then Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the supreme controller or proprietor of all planetary systems, all universes. Okay, and the demigods, of course. If you are the boss of the planet, you are the boss of the boss of the planet also. So the planet is being controlled by someone. Like that, there are hundreds of planets controlled by hundreds of controllers. All those controllers are under the control of the supreme controller, Krishna. He is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So, he is the supreme proprietor of all planets and the demigods who are ruling those planets. That also indicates that Krishna is Paramatma. He is the super soul of the entire universe and all the universes. That way, he is the object of worship of all Ashtanga Yogis. Okay? Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam means he is the enjoyer, supreme enjoyer of all yajnas and tapasa, which is done by Karma Yogis and Jnana Yogis. Thus, Krishna is the object of worship of Karma Yogis and Jnanis. Now, he is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the supreme proprietor or the super soul of all planetary systems and planets and the demigods. Thus, he is the Paramatma. He is the object of worship of Dhyana Yogis or Ashtanga Yogis. Next is Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna becomes more personal. So, his being Bhokta and Maheshwara are indicating his majesty and opulence and grandeur and great position as the controller, proprietor and enjoyer. But when it says that Krishna is Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam, he is the supreme well-wisher of all living entities, his personal aspect is being described. His heart is being described. So this one line is specifically indicating that Krishna is the object of worship of bhaktas, devotees. Is it clear? So he is the supreme well-wisher of all living entities by instructing them bhakti. So being a well-wisher is being more personal than being the proprietor or enjoyer. Okay? So and so person is the proprietor of this entire estate or land. That's on one level. He is my friend. That's more personal. Right? That's more intimate, is it not? So that intimate description is meant for bhaktas. Being the proprietor or enjoyer is meant for jnanis, karmis and yogis. Fine? So, Gnatvamam Shanti Mrichati. If you understand Krishna as the object of worship of all karmis, karma yogis, not karmis actually, karma yogis, these jnanis and ashtanga yogis and bhakti yogis and all these people, he is the supreme enjoyer, supreme proprietor, supreme well-wisher of all entities. So, understanding Krishna to be like this makes you attain unadulterated peace. Gnatvamam Shantim Richati. This is the peace formula. That is knowing Krishna by Bhakti Yoga. So if you are a Bhakta, you have access to all the privileges of other yogis also. Okay. Krishna says, this is the greatest peace formula. The Lord is the master of material nature and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in this world, either individually or collectively. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. So there are few other points. So now, Krishna concluded this chapter with this last section where he described how to attain the Supreme by focusing on the Supreme. How to attain liberation by focusing on the Supreme. So, he spoke about the equal vision of a self-realized person and other symptoms. And he also spoke how sense enjoyment is so insubstantial and one has to tolerate the temptation to enjoy an essential plane. And how a person on Brahman platform tries to focus inwards, within. Then he also says, we should attain liberation. One should attain liberation by being freed from material desires and anger. Thus practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Means working for the Supreme and with knowledge and detachment you can attain liberation. And Krishna says such liberation can also be attained by Ashtanga Yoga. But ultimately what is more relevant and the supreme process for any human being is Bhakti Yoga. He says that in the 29th shloka. So we completed the 5th chapter. Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So we'll take some portion of the 6th chapter.
It is Prasad from Narottam Das.
Devotee is also religious. Devotee is even meditated also. But their yajna and tapasa are not the only things they do. That may be some small elements of their overall practice of the Kavanaugrahana service.
Rendering the other one, then copy it.
I thought earlier, they used to be study and discuss the dhyana.
There are 25 limbs of practice for dhyanis. That includes our head. But their outlook and their whole aspiration behind that swadhyaya is to become a Buddhist. You can see, it's explained in the first chapter. 14
is ready?
Yeah, I will render it today.
Today, when? Like when you can give?
That's why I was giving in the morning, if you empty it. Anyways, if you give it to me, and rendering it, I will hopefully give it to you by 2 p.m. As soon as it is rendered, you can take it to me. I was leaving at that time in the morning, I'm sorry, I disturbed you.
Yesterday, don't know why, material naturally induces to do a material activity. Material nature induces to do the material activity.
Yeah, we must assume that facilities.
You don't have a big space, mental.
Uses in the sense that because of bewilderment of Maya only, living into develop
this is how much space?
Only 4 GB.
4 GB, huh? No? 2 episodes will come in. 1.6 GB around 1 episode.
Yeah,
2 will come around 3.
It depends on how many verses are covered.
Usually I'm asking it is 1.5 GB.
Consciousness.
Try putting two.
So materialization can facilitate both spiritual activity and material activity also. So our material consciousness, it induces you to do material sensory activity. If you are in spiritual consciousness, then you expertly engage that matter in spiritual services.
I have a bigger drive, but it does not get that far as a result because it has a Mac file on it as well, which I need for my
own. 2 episodes at a time will be.
But experience, 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 experience,
Yeah.